in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which will tip off its fourth season in March 2024 in South Africa. The 2024 BAL season will feature the top 12 club teams from 12 African countries playing 48 games across four African nations: South Africa, Egypt, Senegal, and Rwanda. This will mark the first BAL games in South Africa. Also, for the first time, the 12 teams will be divided into three conferences of four teams each. The inaugural Kalahari Conference group phase will take place in March in South Africa. That will be followed by the Nile Conference group phase in April in Egypt, and the Sahara Conference group phase in May in Senegal. The top two teams from each conference and the top two third-place teams from across the three conferences will travel to Rwanda for four seeding games, followed by an eight-game single elimination BAL playoffs and final from May to June. BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall says, and I quote, "We are thrilled to expand our footprint in the BAL's fourth season and allow more fans to experience the excitement of this historic league, including the first BAL games in South Africa, where there is already strong affinity for the game." And Amadou adds, "We look forward to building on the momentum of our first three seasons and to continue delivering a world-class basketball and entertainment product that represents Africa proudly on the global stage." In May, Egypt's Al Ahly defeated Senegal's AS Douane 80-65 in Kigali, Rwanda, to win this year's BAL championship. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my post-game report. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Al Ahly Sporting Club, which has added another prize to its big trophy case in Cairo. The proud Egyptian club, founded 116 years ago, has won titles in multiple sports. In football, the Red Devils have won a record 10 African Champions League titles, and they were named African Club of the 20th Century by the Confederation of African Football, CAF. In Kigali, Rwanda, Al Ahly lifted its first Basketball Africa League trophy after beating AS Douane of Senegal in the final, 80-65. South Sudanese forward Nuni Omot of Al Ahly scored a game-high 22 points and was presented with the Akeem Olajuwon Trophy for being the 2023 BAL Most Valuable Player. The VOA's big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, caught up with Nuni shortly after the game ended, and Sheck asked Nuni how it felt to be the MVP.
It feels amazing, honestly. I couldn't have done it without my teammates. They gave me a lot of confidence. Coach, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence. He let me play. He let me beat me, play my game. Without that, you know, obviously nothing would have happened if that mattered. So,
what is Nunes doing from here now?
I mean, I'm gonna go home, get some rest, and then obviously start training again. But I mean, everybody from South Sudan is hungry. You know, that's the difference between a lot of us, is that we're hungry. We have a lot of talent. You know, not only just on the national team, we got younger guys. Kaman as well, you know, coming up, 16 years old. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be, you know, another South Sudanese player in the NBA. I believe so. So, you know, I feel like the future is bright for us.
That's Nuni Omot, the 2023 Basketball Africa League Most Valuable Player, and Nooney was talking with the VOA's big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, in Kigali, Rwanda. At the post-game news conference, Nooney said he believes his performance in Kigali will inspire South Sudanese children.
With how much talent is in South Sudan, you know, a lot of guys don't get the opportunity or the credit that they should get. And I feel like, you know, with me being able to come back and, you know, play, win a championship in the MVP, is going to open up a lot of doors for the younger kids and the younger generation to come. And I think that's what's most important, honestly, to have kids get opportunities. You know, you got young guys like Kaman, who was on Senegal's team. You know, he's only 16 years old. He's at the academy. He has a very bright future. And I think, you know, he's going to be a pro as well. And just for me to be able to do this means a lot. You know, it means a lot for the country just because of everything that's gone in the previous years and everything, you know, how people portray and look at our country. For me, it's just, it means the world, you know, because I just feel like, you know, opportunities are going to open up, and that's what's most important. Obviously, not everyone is granted equal opportunity as far as, you know, sports, life, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I feel like with me opening up this door is going to present a lot of opportunities for younger kids.
For more reaction to Nooney Omot and Al Ahly winning the 2023 Basketball Africa League trophy, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kigali, where he reached the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadou. Retired.
It was a very exciting game. First, the crowd turnout was great. The whole of Kigali turned out for the game with so many international crowd and flavor. Both teams went head to head, but at the end, the different team pulled off the victory because they were better organized, better coached, and very familiar with this type of situation. However, the gap was not much. The difference in ability was not much. But at the end, the Gibera team won. So Egypt, congratulations to them. This is the second time they are winning it. Zamalek, also of Egypt, won season one. And season three is also won by another Egyptian team. This really shows the organization and the level of Egyptian basketball.
Stade Malien of Mali defeated favorites Petro de Luanda of Angola to win the third place game. Did the outcome of this encounter come to you as a surprise?
With the way ball is going, man, the tournament is getting tougher and more competitive. So congratulations to Stade Malien, and we hope that their resilience will continue to push them to go for the title the next time.
What's your assessment of BAL Season 3 playoffs? Do you think Season 4 will be tougher?
My assessment of BAL Season 3 is very positive assessment. First, in terms of organization, everything went promptly. Games were started on time, concluded on time. Entertainment was great. The event management was nice. The musical artists, the fan engagement was fantastic, reminiscent of the NBA. Dance camera, the engagement with the fans was perfect. And one other aspect that went very well was the merchandising. There were lots of merchandise, caps, T-shirts, other souvenirs. Till the last day, even after the final game, fans were still queuing up to buy the souvenirs, which tells you that BAL has really come of age. The followership is increasing every day. The whole of Kigali was out. The president of the Ege Nation came for the opening game and also came for the final match with lots of his ministers. A lot of NBA chief executives like Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors was there.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Overall, it was a great experience, followed by one of the best after parties that I have seen. Season 4 is going to be tougher, and that I can assure you. Season 4 is going to be tougher because everybody has seen what it takes. And I see that those national federations that have well-organized leagues will continue to carry the day. If you are a national federation who believes that your team should do well, you have to organize your league properly. That will make the teams play more games, more technical games with regular technical assessment. The North Africans have won it for the 3 years now in a row because they have a very strong league. Their players are at home. And so others have to learn from the North African teams. Overall, congratulations to the NBA. Congratulations to BAL and congratulations to FIBA Africa, who are also partners, particularly from the technical aspect.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kigali, Rwanda.
This is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, president FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day. Turning to tennis, 12 teams from around the world are competing at the Billie Jean King Cup Finals in Seville, Spain. The competition is named after the trailblazing American tennis great, and it offers a record $9.6 million in prize money. Slovenia and the Czech Republic scored victories on Tuesday's opening day of action. Craig Gabriel reports.
The two nations that were finalists in 2022 at the Billie Jean King Cup, formerly known as the Fed Cup, have been humbled at the start of this year's finals series being played in Seville, Spain. 12 months ago in Scotland, Switzerland won the title for the first time when they beat Australia. But oh, how things have changed. The finals series has four groups, each with three nations, and the top nation from each group advances to the elimination semis. On day one, Australia played debutante Slovenia, which scored an unassailable 2-0 advantage after the singles. Kaya Juvan accounted for Alia Tomljanovic, a former Wimbledon and US Open quarterfinalist, 6-4, 6-1. Tomljanovic has hardly played this year due to a knee injury that required surgery. Then Tamara Zidanšek, a former French Open semi-finalist, swept aside Daria Saville, 6-1, 6-4. Saville only returned to the tour mid-year following a shocking Achilles injury. The only saving grace for the Aussies was the doubles, as the new world number one in doubles, Storm Sanders, and Kimberly Birrell scored a narrow three-set win. Sanders arrived late because she was playing the maligned WTA Finals in Mexico. She travelled 17 hours and arrived 3 or 4 hours before stepping on court, and along the way endured every traveller's nightmare.
As soon as I finished in Cancun, tried to get as soon as I could get here, the flight options, and ended up landing at 8 a.m. this morning, 8:30 a.m. this morning. Bags didn't arrive, so that made it a bit tricky, but I had some rackets on me and I was prepared to play today. I had my outfit, my shoes, and mentally I was ready to go if our team needed.
Australia next has to play Kazakhstan in a crucial tie, and Aussie captain Alicia Molik, who steps down from the role after a decade, hopes for better things.
Well, it's a do or die one, isn't it? It's all or nothing. One of the best players in the world in that team, Rybakina. So we have to go all out. We've got to bring our A game. I think now that we Ellen arrives tonight too, so we're at complete full strength in terms of our Australian team. So now it's just working out again, you know, our best chances against what we think will be their best team that plays on Thursday.
The Swiss, meanwhile, fell to the Czech Republic, who won the two singles as well. Last year, Belinda Bencic was the Swiss spearhead, but it's different for her this time. She's with her team, but this week announced that she's expecting her first child. In the first match between two 18-year-olds, Czech Linda Noskova snuck past Swiss Celine Neff 7-6, 4-6, 6-4. And then Marie Buskova beat Victoria Golubic 6-4, 6-4. Day two will see home nation Spain facing Canada, and France will take on Italy. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports.
Thanks, Craig. Pro boxing. The Ukrainian Alexander Usyk is hoping his undisputed world title fight with Tyson Fury can take place in Saudi Arabia in February, once Fury recovers from a bruising 10 rounds with Cameroonian fighter Francis Ngannou. Now, contracts were signed by Usyk and Fury in September, but a proposed December 23rd date in Riyadh looks like it will be moved back after Fury's controversial split decision win over Ngannou in a non-title bout on October 28th. Usyk holds the WBA, WBO, IBF, and IBO belts, and both he and Fury are unbeaten. Speaking from his training camp in Valencia, Spain, Usyk said the date for the Fury fight should be decided next week. He said through an interpreter, "It could be February, and I would very much like it to be February." Francis Ngannou knocked down Tyson Fury in the third round and more than held his own in his professional boxing debut. In the process, Ngannou is now one of Cameroon's biggest sports heroes. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Good day, Moki.
Good day, Sonny Young, and welcome to Cameroon. Hundreds of fans sang Cameroon's national anthem at Terre Rouge, a neighborhood in the capital Yaoundé, to encourage Francis Ngannou in his boxing debut in Riyadh on Saturday. Ngannou was born to a poor family in Cameroon 37 years ago and is known here as a brave boy who, at 10 years of age, started working in a sand quarry to raise money and provide food for his mother and siblings. Local media, including Cameroon's state broadcaster CRTV, report that Ngannou was approached by several gangs to join them. Cameroon police say Ngannou has no criminal record. Almost all popular spots in Yaoundé, the economic hub Douala, and several towns and villages were full with cheering crowds that turned out to watch Ngannou, their Tyson Fury, who has held the World Boxing Council WBC heavyweight title since 2020. The unified heavyweight titles from 2015 to 2016 and the Ring magazine title twice between 2015 and 2022. There was more cheering in the third round, when Ngannou's overhead left caught Fury heavily and he tumbled. The fans held their breath until the end of the 10th round, expecting Ngannou to be declared victor, but that was never the case. Cameroonians generally expressed disappointment with the jury's decision to award Fury the victory of the bout against Ngannou, with many claiming the former UFC world heavyweight was robbed of his boxing debut in Riyadh.
Francis Ngannou was steady, swift, very, very determined in the punches, and he didn't rush on anything. If you saw at one point in time, Tyson Fury wanted to prove strong by attacking and attacking and attacking, but Francis Ngannou, in his defensive manner and in, you know, so much knowledge when it comes to fighting, he was able to bring Tyson Fury down to his knee. I'm sure Tyson Fury was thinking that he will come and meet somebody who have no knowledge of boxing, since the person is coming from the mixed martial arts background, but he was proven wrong.
Even somebody that was watching a boxing fight for the first time, another guy won. But there's more to that. The boxing world is a world that has to do with the judges, has to do with investors, stakeholders, and that's where Tyson wins the fight, because an amateur can't just come and put down the world champion.
Two judges gave Fury the fight by scores of 96-93 and 95-94, and the other judge favoring Ngannou 95-94. Notwithstanding, fans and supporters saying Ngannou has a bright future as he fights with fire and purpose after carving out an impressive career in the brutal world of mixed martial arts, which saw him become an admired UFC heavyweight champion. 47-year-old businessman Neba Emmanuel is an admirer of Ngannou.
I think that for Ngannou, the performance is very grateful for his first fight in heavyweight champion in the world. Now, I believe that in the future, he will do better than this. Fury has been the world champion for more than 10 years. I believe that Fury has met somebody that can challenge him. From this fight, I think that we'll do better, so that maybe next time when they meet again, we'll love to see better fight. Because Ngannou has taken the lead.
But who is this Ngannou? At the age of 26, Ngannou left Cameroon to chase his dreams in Europe. He had to cross the Sahara Desert, sometimes in the back of smuggler's truck and many times by foot. Ngannou's family says he left from Cameroon to Nigeria, Niger, Algeria, and then to Morocco. He tried to cross to Europe close to a dozen times but failed. Ngannou finally got to Spanish waters and was picked up by a Red Cross boat. After 2 months in Spanish prison, he was given refugee status and freed. Ngannou made his way to Paris and joined a fighting gym. He is now looked upon as an example of resilience, hard work, and determination to be emulated by Cameroonians. He has set up a Francis Ngannou Foundation that he personally funds. Ngannou says his foundation is to impact the lives of desperate youths who have dreams but lack means of achieving their plans. His patriotism towards Cameroon has been congratulated several times by the Central African States government officials, including President Paul Biya. Each time there is an event out of Cameroon, Ngannou shows up with the green, red, yellow Cameroon flag as a sign of love for his country. Observers say his popularity is almost beating that of legendary Cameroonian football star Samuel Eto'o, who is today president of the Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT. Many youths say they expect Ngannou to come to Cameroon anytime he is free and not only teach but motivate them to become future champions. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. European club football Reigning title holder Manchester City is through to the knockout stage in the UEFA Champions League after a 3-0 win against visiting Young Boys of Switzerland. Norwegian star Erling Haaland scored 2 goals, and Phil Foden also had a goal as Man City maintained its unbeaten record in Group G. The German club Leipzig also advanced out of the group with a hard-fought 2-1 win at Red Star Belgrade. In Group H, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Pepe, who became the oldest player to score in Champions League history. The veteran Porto defender, at the age of 40 years and 254 days, rose in the box and headed home his team's second goal in a 2-0 win over Antwerp. Porto has 9 points and moved level with group leader Barcelona, which lost 1-0 to Shakhtar Donetsk. Ukrainian striker Danilo Sekan scored the goal on a towering header in the 40th minute in Hamburg, Germany. Shakhtar's head coach is Marino Pusic.
It feels very sweet. Well, I have to say, it doesn't feel very sweet only for me, of course. I'm very glad about it. But at the same time, I'm tremendously proud of all my players and all the people in the club working very hard to support me in this, what we achieved tonight. It was perfect, but it was perfect execution of the plan. It's especially that. I think my players deserve the biggest compliments. I can make up something in my mind. I have a plan, of course, but they have to do it on the pitch. So they were fantastic. So I want to give them all these credits. Like I said, it's not easy to play against Barcelona. It's a very good team. They're fantastic on the ball. Such a tremendous qualities on everywhere. And then you have to be very brave to do something what you want to do. You have to show up, you want to play, you want to have the ball. And as long as we could and being able to have it, we tried all the time. So maybe it's that the part I'm most proud of it, not only about this perfect defensive organization and work effort, but that we also tried anytime we could, had a chance, we also tried to build up, we also tried to keep the ball, to create something. And like I said, if you see the game, and the chances, I think we scored one more goal, but it was offside or not, I don't know. We really deserved to win this game.
That's Marino Pusic, the head coach of the Ukrainian football club Shakhtar Donetsk. In Group F in the UEFA Champions League, AC Milan beat visiting Paris Saint-Germain 2-1. A crowd of almost 76,000 at San Siro in Milan saw what's being described as a hugely entertaining match. Rafael Leao and Olivier Giroud scored early in each half to help Milan recover from conceding an early goal from former Inter Milan defender Milan Skriniar. The result leaves Group F wide open. Borussia Dortmund beat Newcastle 2-0. And now leads the group with 7 points. PSG has 6 points, Milan 5, and Newcastle 4. And in Group E, another tight group. Atletico Madrid routed Celtic Tuesday 6-0, and Lazio edged visiting Feyenoord 1-0. Atletico Madrid tops the group with 8 points, followed by Lazio with 7 points, and Feyenoord with 6 points. There will be 8 more UEFA Champions League matches later Wednesday evening as the 69th season of Europe's premier club football tournament progresses. The UEFA Champions League final is scheduled for June 1st, 2024 at Wembley Stadium in London. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com.
get it.
My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sonny. My ex, formerly known as Twitter handle, is @VOA Sonny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sonny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. And that wraps up the November 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sonny Side of Sports.
I get it.